Chapter 54. Inan. The air of the dreamscape hums like a melody, soft, resonant. As it sings, my eyes trail Zeli's bare skin through the lake. Like a black-feathered swan, she glides above the shimmering waves, face at ease, an expression I've never seen. It's like for one single moment the whole world doesn't weigh on her shoulders. She dives down for a few seconds and resurfaces, lifting her dark face to the rays above. With eyes shut, her lashes seem to never end. Her coils look like silver against her skin. When she turns to me, my breath catches. For a moment, I forget how to breathe. And to think, I once thought she wore the face of a monster. You know, it's creepy if you just watch. A grin crawls onto my face. Is that your clever way of getting me to join you? She smiles, a beautiful smile. With it, I glimpse the sun. When she turns, I long for that glimpse again. The warmth it spread through my bones. With that urge, I remove my shirt and jump in. Zeli sputters and spits at the wave that hits when I crash through the rippling water. The current pulls me under with unexpected strength. I kick and push until I break back to the surface. As I swim away from the waterfall's roar, Zeli studies the forest behind us. Its end stretches farther than I can see, far beyond the white border that set on the lake's bank last time. I take it this is your first time in the water, Zeli calls out. What gave it away? Your face, Zeli answers. You look stupid when you're surprised. A smile spreads on my lips, one that's coming more and more often in her presence. You rather enjoy insulting me, don't you? It's almost as satisfying as beating you with my staff. This time, it's she who grins. It makes my own smile grow. She jumps up and floats on her back, passing between the drifting reeds and floating lilies. If I had your magic, I'd spend all my time here. I nod, though I wonder what my dreamscape would look like without her in it. All I create are wilting reeds. With Zeli, the whole world flows. You seem at home in the water, I say. I'm surprised you're not a tider. Maybe in another life. She runs her hand through the lake, watching as it slips through her fingers. I don't know why it is. I liked the lakes in Ibadan, but they were nothing compared to the ocean. Like sparks igniting a fire, her memory engulfs me. Her young eyes open wide, the awe of the never-ending waves. You lived in Ibadan? I drift closer, breathing more of her in. Though I've never ventured to the northern village, Zeli's memories are so vivid, it's as if I'm there now. I marvel at the stunning views from the mountain top, inhale the crisp mountain air into my lungs. Her memories of Ibadan hold a special warmth, the blanket of her mother's love. I lived there before the raid. Zeli's voice falters as she relives the moments with me. But afterward, she shakes her head. There were too many memories. We couldn't stay. A pit of guilt opens in my chest, tainted with the smell of burning flesh. The fires I watched from the royal palace resurface, the innocent lives burned before my young eyes, a memory I've pushed down like my magic, a day I've longed to forget. But staring at Zeli now brings it all back, the pain, the tears, the death. We weren't supposed to stay in Ilorin. Zeli speaks more to herself than to me. But then I saw the sea. She smiles to herself. Baba told me we never had to leave. In the dreamscape, Zelie's heartbreak hits me with unbearable force. Ilorin was her happiness, and I burned it to the ground. I'm sorry. The words fight their way out. I hate myself even more as they ring. They sound so inadequate, weak in the face of her pain. I know I can't fix it. I can't change what I've done. But I can rebuild Ilorin. When this is over, it'll be the first thing I do. Zelie releases a brittle laugh, dry, devoid of all joy. Keep saying naive things like that. You only prove Zane right. What do you mean? I ask. What does he think? That when this is over, one of us will be dead. He's scared it'll be me. Chapter 55. Zelie. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I baited Inan to jump in. I don't know why something in me flutters each time he swims near. This is temporary, I remind myself. This isn't even real. When this is over, Inan won't be wearing kaftans. He won't be welcoming me into the dreamscape. I try to picture the feral warrior I know, the little prince who came at me with his sword. But instead, I see the blade that freed me from the mask's net. I see him standing up to Kwame's flames. He has a good heart. Amari's words from so long ago play inside my head. I thought she was in denial. But did she see the parts of him I couldn't? Zelie, I would never hurt you. He shakes his head and grimaces. Not after all I've seen. When he lifts his eyes to mine, the truth leaks through. I can't believe I didn't realize it before. The guilt and pity he's been carrying. Gods! He must have seen everything. I thought my father didn't have a choice. I was always taught that he did what he did to keep Orisha safe. But after seeing your memories... His voice trails off. No child should have to live through that. I turn back to the ripples in the lake, not knowing what to say, to feel. He's seen the worst parts of me, parts I never thought I could share. My father was wrong. Inan speaks so quietly the waterfall nearly drowns him out. Maybe I should have realized it earlier. But the only thing I can do now is try to make those wrongs right. Don't believe him, I warn myself. He's living in a fantasy, a dream. But with each promise he makes, my heart swells, secretly hoping even one of them holds truth. When Inan looks up at me, I see a hint of the optimism that's always shining in Amari's eyes. Despite everything, he's determined to do this. He really wants Orisha to change. If Sky Mother brought the scroll to you through a descendant of Saran's blood, her will is clear. Lekan's words echo through my head as I stare at Inan, entranced by his strong jaw, the stubble lining his chin. If one descendant of Saran's blood is supposed to help me, could the gods want Inan to rule and change the guard? Is that what we're doing here? Why they gifted him this magic? Inan floats closer and my heartbeat spikes. I should swim away, but I stay still, cemented in place. I don't want anyone else to die, he whispers. I can't take any more blood on my family's hands. Pretty lies. That's all this is. But if they're just pretty lies, why can't I swim away? My God, is he even wearing clothes? My eyes comb over his broad chest, the curves of each muscle. But before I catch sight of anything under the water, I jerk my eyes up. What in Sky Mother's name am I doing? I force myself to swim through the waterfall until my back rests against the cliff's edge. This is absurd. Why did I let him bring me here? I hope the pounding water will keep Inan on the other side, but within moments, he swims through the cascading water to join me. Go! I order my legs to kick, but I'm ensnared by the soft smile on his lips. Do you want me to leave? Yes. That's what I need to say. But the closer he swims, the more something in me wants him to stay. He pauses before he's too close, forcing me to respond. Do I want him to go? Though my heart slams against my chest, I know the answer. No. His smile fades, and his gaze grows soft, a look I haven't seen on his face before. When others look at me this way, I want to claw their eyes out. Yet somehow, under Inan's gaze, I want more. Can I? His voice trails off and his cheeks flush, unable to voice his desire. But he doesn't need words. Not when an undeniable part of me wants the same thing. I nod and he raises a shaking hand, brushing it against my cheek. I close my eyes, taken away by the rush of his simple touch. It burns through my chest, rages down my spine. His hand slides past my cheek and into my hair, his fingers tickling my scalp. Gods. If a guard ever saw this, I'd be killed on the spot. Even as a prince, Inan could be thrown in jail. But despite the rules of our world, Inan's other hand pulls me close, inviting me to let go. I close my eyes and lean in, closer to the little prince than I should ever be. His lips graze mine.
Zaylee!
With a lurch, my body jumps back into the real world. My eyes snap open, just as Zane rips Inan away. He lifts him by the collar of his kaftan and throws him to the ground. Zane, stop! I scramble up, forcing my way between them.
Stay away from my sister.
I should leave. Inan looks at me for a moment before backing away into the trees. He grips the bronze piece tight in his hands. I'll be back at the camp. What's wrong with you? I shout as soon as Inan is out of earshot.
Wrong with me? Zane roars. God, Zale, what the hell are you doing out here? I thought you could be hurt.
I was trying to help him. He doesn't know how to control his magic. It causes him pain.
For God's sakes, he's the enemy. If he's in pain, that's better for us.
Zane, I know it's hard to believe, but he wants to fix Orisha. He's trying to make it safe for all the Magi.
Is he brainwashing you?
Zane shakes his head. Is this his magic?
You're a lot of things, Zale. But I know you're not this naive.
You don't get it. I look away. You've never had to. You get to be the perfect Kosidan everyone loves. Every day, I have to be afraid.
Zane steps back as if I've struck him. You think I don't know what it's like to wake up every day and worry it's going to be your last?
Then give Inan a chance. Amari is only a princess. When magic comes back, she's not first in line. If I can convince the crown prince, we'll have the future king of Orisha on our side.
If you could hear the dung you're spewing.
Zane pulls at his hair.
He doesn't care about you, Zale. He just wants to get in between your legs.
My face burns. Hurt twists with shame. This isn't Zane. This isn't the brother I love.
He's the son of the man who murdered Mama. For God's sakes, how desperate do you have to be?
You pine after Amari, I scream. How does that make you any better?
Because she's not a killer,
Zane yells back.
She didn't burn our village to the ground.
The air around me hums. My heart pounds against my chest as Zane's tirade continues. His words cut deep, sharper than any attack I've faced before.
What would Baba say?
Leave Baba out of this. Oh, Mama!
Shut up!
I shout back. The hum in the air rises to a fiery buzz. The darkest part of my rage simmers, though I try to fight it down.
Gods! If she only knew she died so that you could be the prince's whore!
Magic rushes out of me, hot and violent, raging without the direction of an incantation. Like a spear, a shadow twists from my arm, striking with the fury of the dead. It all happens in a flash. Zane shouts. I stumble back. When it's over, he grabs his shoulder. Blood leaks from under his grip. I stare at my trembling hands, at the wispy shadows of death that twist around them. After a moment, they fade. But the damage remains.
Zane! I shake my head. Tears spill from my eyes. I didn't mean to. I promise. I wasn't trying to.
Zane stares at me like he doesn't know who I am. Like I'm a betrayal to everything we have.
Zane!
He blows by me. Face hard. Unforgiving. I choke back a sob as I fall to the ground. Chapter 56. Zaylee. I stay on the outskirts of the settlement until sunset falls. I don't have to face anyone in the trees. I don't have to face myself. When I can sit in the dark no longer, I travel back to my tent, disappointing Zoo, praying I don't run into Zane. But as soon as Amari sees me, she rushes over with a silk kaftan.
Where have you been?
She grabs my hand and pulls me into her tent, practically stripping me to pull the dress over my head.
It's almost time for the celebration, and we haven't even done your hair.
Amari, please, don't bother fighting me. She slaps my hand away and forces me to sit still.
These people are looking to you, Zaylee. You must look the part.
Zane didn't tell her. It's the only explanation. Amari applies carmine to my lips and charcoal around my eyes like an older sister might, then makes me do the same to her. If she knew the truth, she would only be afraid.
It's gotten so curly, she says,
pinning one of my coils back. I think it's the magic. Mama's hair used to be like this.
It suits you. I'm not even done, and you look stunning.
My cheeks flush, and I gaze at the silk kaftan she's forced me into. Its purple pattern twists with vibrant yellows and deep blues. It shines bright against my dark skin. I finger the beaded neckline, wishing Amari would take it back to whoever lent it to her. I can't remember the last time I wore a dress. I feel naked without fabric covering my legs.
You don't like it?
Amari asks. It doesn't matter, I sigh. I don't care what I wear. I just want to get tonight over with.
Did something happen?
Amari pries delicately.
This morning you couldn't wait. Now Zoo tells me you don't want to share the scroll?
I press my lips tight and grip the fabric of my kaftan. The way the smile dropped off Zoo's face filled me with a different kind of shame. All these people looking to me to lead them. Yet I can't even keep my own magic in check.
And not just my magic. The memory of Kwame's inferno rages so hot, my skin prickles at the imagined heat. I convinced myself I had nothing to fear, but now fear is all I feel. What if Zu couldn't control him? What if she had never arrived? If Kwame hadn't stopped his flames, I wouldn't even be here. It's not the right time, I finally say. The solstice is only 4 days away.
So why not give these diviners their powers back now?
Amari's hold on my hair tightens.
Please, Zeli, talk to me. I want to understand.
I hug my knees to my chest and close my eyes, almost smiling at Amari's words. I remember the days when the sight of magic made her flinch. Now it's her fighting for it as I cower. I try to will away memories of Zane's face, the coldest look I could ever get. I recognize the terror in his eyes. When Kwame touched the sunstone and ignited, I looked at him the same way.
Is it because of Inan?
Amari presses when I stay silent.
Are you afraid of what he'll do?
Inan isn't the problem, at least not this problem. Amari pauses, releasing my hair to kneel at my side. With her back straight and shoulders squared, she looks like the true princess she is. Regal, in a borrowed golden dress.
What happened while Zane and I were gone?
Though my heart skips a beat, I keep my face blank. I already told you, we teamed up to get you both back.
Zeli, please. I need you to be honest. I love my brother, I do. But I have never seen this side of him.
What side is that?
Going against my father. Fighting for the Magi? Something happened to him, and I know it has to do with you.
She looks at me with knowing eyes and my ears burn. I think about the dreamscape. The moment our lips almost touched. He learned, I shrug. He saw what your father's done. What his guards are doing now. He wants to find a way to make things right. Amari crosses her arms and arches her brow.
You must think I'm blind or stupid, and you know I'm not blind.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Zeli. He stares at you. He smiles like... Skies, I don't even know. I have never seen him smile the way he smiles with you.
I look at the ground and she grabs my chin, forcing me to meet her eyes.
I want you to be happy, Zale, more than you realize.
But I know my brother. What's that supposed to mean? Amari pauses. Pinning another coil back.
Either he's about to betray us, or something else is taking place.
I wrench my chin out of her grasp and turn toward the floor. Guilt seeps through every part of my body.
You sound like Zane. Zane is worried, and he has every right to be. I can get through to him. But first I need to know if I should.
You shouldn't. That's the obvious choice. But despite everything he has done, the memory of Inan carrying me into the camp stays strong. I close my eyes and breathe deeply. I don't remember the last time I felt so safe in someone else's arms. When you told me Inan had a good heart, I thought you were a fool. Part of me feels like the fool now, but I've seen that heart for myself. He saved me from getting captured by Zeus fighters. He did everything he could to get you and Zane back. And when the time came for him to grab the scroll and run, he stayed. He tried to save me. I pause and search for the words she wants to hear, the ones I'm almost too afraid to speak aloud. He has a good heart. I think he's finally using it. Amari's hands fidget. She presses them tight to her chest. Amari. She wraps her arms around me and squeezes. I stiffen in surprise, not knowing what else to do. I slowly hug her back.
I know this must seem ridiculous to you. I just...
She pulls away and wipes the tears threatening to fall from her eyes.
Inan has always been caught between wrong and right. I just want to believe he can be right.
I nod, thinking of the things I want from Inan. I hate how many times I thought about him today, thought about his lips, his smile. Despite how much I push against it, the longing remains, a desperation to feel his touch again. More tears threaten to fall from Amari's eyes, and I wipe them away with the sleeve of my kaftan. Stop, I order. You ruin your makeup. Amari snorts.
I think you did that for me.
I told you not to trust me with the charcoal.
How can you wield a staff and not keep a steady hand?
We dissolve into a fit of giggles, a sound so foreign it takes me by surprise. But our laughter dies as Zane bounds into the tent. When he meets my eye, he stops. At first, he regards me like a stranger, but something inside him thaws.
What is it?
Amari asks. Zane's chin trembles. He drops his gaze to the ground.
She, Zale, looks like Mama.
His words rip through my heart and warm it at the same time. Zane never speaks of Mama like this. At times, I think he's truly forgotten her. But as our eyes meet, I realize he's just like me. He carries Mama like the air, a passing thought of her in every breath. Zane.
The procession's starting.
He turns to Amari.
You should finish up.
And with that, he's gone, wringing my heart. Amari slips her hand in mine. I'll talk to him. Don't. I ignore the bitter taste on my tongue. He'll just get mad at you too. And no matter what you say, it'll still be all my fault. I stand and tug the sleeves of my dress, smoothing out a crease that doesn't exist. After a lifetime of mistakes, there are so many things I regret. But this is the one thing I would give anything to take back. With a heavy chest, I move for the exit, pretending my heart doesn't ache. But before I can leave, Amari grabs my hand again, forcing me to stay.
You still haven't explained why you're not sharing the scroll.
Amari stands, studying me.
There's a whole valley of diviners out there waiting to become magi. Why aren't we giving that to them?
Amari's words hit me like Mama Agba's smacks, like the sword Lekan took to the chest. They gave up everything to give me a chance like this, and yet all I can do is throw it away. When I first thought about sharing the scroll tonight, I couldn't stop imagining all the beauty and joy the new magic would spread. For once it would feel like it did before the raid. The magi would reign again. But now each smiling diviner twists into all the pain that could lie in their wake. Grounders ripping the earth under our feet, reapers losing control and unleashing waves of death. I can't risk their magic coming back, not without rules, leaders, plans. And if I can't do this now, how will I be able to complete the ritual? Amari, it's complicated. What if someone loses control? What if the wrong person touches the sunstone? We could awaken a cancer and all die of a plague.
What are you talking about? Amari grabs my shoulders. Zaylee, where is this coming from?
You don't understand.
I shake my head.
You didn't see what Kwame could do. If Zu hadn't stopped him, if stalkers had that kind of power, or a man like your father.
My throat goes dry at the memory of the blaze.
Imagine all the people he'd incinerate if he could conjure flames.
It all pours out of me at once, the fears, the shames that have plagued me all day.
And Zain, I start, but I can't even say the words. If I can't even trust myself to keep my magic in check, how can I expect untested magi to fare? For so long, I thought we needed magic to survive, but now I don't know what to think. We have no plan, no way to make rules or establish control. If we just bring it back, innocent people could get hurt.
Amari stays silent for a long moment, letting my words simmer. Her eyes soften and she pulls me by the hand. Amari, just come. She drags me outside the tent, and in an instant, I'm blown away. While we were inside, the settlement came alive. The valley bursts with youthful energy, glowing red with soft lantern lights. Savory meat pies and sweet plantain pass under our noses as vibrant music and thundering drums reverberate through our skin. Everyone dances to the joyous music, buzzing with the excitement of the procession. In the festive craze, I spot Inan, more handsome than anyone has a right to be, in a dark blue agbada with matching pants. When he spots me, his mouth falls open. My chest flutters under his gaze. I look away, desperate not to feel anything else. He approaches, but before he can catch up, Amari pulls me through the crowd.
Come on! She yells back at him. We cannot miss it!
We zip through the crowd while the celebrants thrust and shimmy by our sides. Though part of me wants to cry, I crane my neck to take in the crowd, craving their joy, their life. The children of Orisha dance like there's no tomorrow, each step praising the gods. Their mouths glorify the rapture of liberation. Their hearts sing the Yoruba songs of freedom. My ears dance at the words of my language, words I once thought I'd never hear outside my head. They seem to light up the air with their delight. It's like the whole world can breathe again.
You look magnificent,
Zu smiles as she takes me in.
Every boy would be dying for a dance, though I think you may be spoken for.
I tilt my head and follow her finger to Inan. His eyes trail me like a lioner on the hunt. I want to hold his gaze, to hold the rush that blossoms under my skin when he looks at me this way. But I force myself to turn around. I can't hurt Zain again.
Mama! Orisa mama! Orisa mama! Awa undupepe egbo igbewa!
The closer we get to the center, the louder the singing grows. It takes me back to the mountains of Ibadan, when Mama would use this song to sing me to sleep. Her voice flowed rich and soft like velvet and silk. I breathe in the familiar sensation as a petite girl with a powerful voice leads the crowd.
Mama! Mama! Mama!
As the voices fill the night with their heavenly song, a young diviner with light brown skin and cropped white hair enters the circle. Dressed in rich blue robes, she looks like Lekan's painting of Yemoya, the goddess who took Sky Mother's tears, come to life. The diviner spins and twirls with the song, a jar of water resting on her head. When the chorus peaks, she throws the water in the air and opens her arms wide
as it rains back down on her skin. The crowd's cheers rise as the diviner twirls out of the circle and Folake shimmies in. The beads of her yellow kaftan catch the light, shimmering as they move along her skin. She teases everyone with her smile, no one more than Kwame. When the crowd can take no more, her hands erupt. The crowd cheers when sparks of golden light shoot from her hands, dancing with her through the camp. Mama! Mama, mama! Diviner after diviner enters the ring, each dressed like Sky Mother's children. Though they can't do magic, their imitations fill the crowd with joy. At the end, a girl who mirrors my age steps forward. She's dressed in flowing red silks, and a beaded headdress glitters against her skin. Oh yeah, my sister deity. Though nothing like the brilliance of Oya in my visions, the diviner has a magical aura of her own. Like Folake, she has long white locks that spin as she dances, twirling around her like the red silks. In one hand, she sports Oya's signature irukere, a short whip with the hair of a lioner. As she spins it around the circle, the diviner's praises grow. You are a part of this, Zeli. Amari laces her fingers with mine. Do not let anyone take this magic away. Chapter 57. Amari. Though the procession ends, the music and dancing advance late into the night. I bite into another moin moin pie as I watch the festivities, savoring the melting of the steamed bean cake in my mouth. A diviner walks past with a platter of shuku shuku, and I almost cry when the sweet coconut hits my tongue.
About time.
Zane's breath tickles my ear, sending a pleasant tingle down my neck. For a rare moment he is alone, unbothered by the swarm of diviner girls who have tried to catch his eye all night. Pardon? I ask, choking down the rest of the shuku shuku.
I've been looking for you. You're a hard person to find.
I wipe the crumbs from my lips, desperate to hide the fact that I've eaten my way through half the festival. Though my dress started out a perfect fit, now the seams pull at my hips. Well, I suppose it's hard to find me when a gaggle of girls blocks your every path.
My apologies, princess, Zane laughs. But you should know it takes time to approach the prettiest girl here.
His smile softens, just like the night he threw me in the river and laughed when I tried to throw him back. It was a rare side of him. After everything that happened since, I wasn't sure when I would see this side again.
What is it?
Just thinking, I shrug, and turn back to the sea of dancing diviners. I've been worried about you. You're forgiving, but being tortured in that tent couldn't have been easy. Zane grins.
I can think of a lot of better ways to spend a night with a girl locked in a tent.
My face turns so red and positive it clashes with the golden hues of my dress. I guess the other night was my first time spending the night with a boy. Zane snorts.
Was it everything you ever dreamed?
I don't know. I press my finger to my lips. I always imagined less bondage. To my surprise, a laugh breaks free, louder than any he's had in my presence. The sound makes my chest swell. I haven't made anyone laugh this loud since Binta. Unspoken words swim inside me, but before I can respond, a giggle catches our attention. I shift to find Zeli a few tents away, dancing at the edge of the crowd. She laughs as she sips on a bottle of palm wine, spinning a diviner child round and round. Though I smile at her joy, Zane's face darkens into the sadness he showed in the tent. But all sadness fades when Zane spots Inan. My brother stares at Zeli like she's the single red rose in a garden of white.
Do you see that?
I grab Zane's hand and pull him toward a circle of cheering diviners. A flutter erupts in my stomach when his hand wraps back over mine. Zane's broad shoulders part the crowd like a herder moving through a flock of sheep. Within moments, we reach the vibrant dancer in the center of the circle, bursting with exuberance and life. Her beaded dress sparkles in the moonlight, accentuating every shake and roll of her hips. Each curve of her body circles to the beat, electrifying the crowd with every thrust. Zane nudges me forward and I grip his arm.
What in Sky's name are you doing?
Get in, he laughs. It's time I see your moves.
You've had too much ogogoro, I laugh.
What if I go? Zane asks. If I do it, will you?
Absolutely not.
Is that a promise?
Zane, I said no!
He jumps into the circle, startling the dancer, causing the whole crowd to step back. For a long moment, he doesn't make a move, studying everyone with mock seriousness pasted on his face. But when the horns of the song ring, he practically explodes in dance. He shakes and pops like fire ants have been dropped in his pants. I laugh so hard I cannot breathe, gripping the diviner next to me to stay upright. Each move he makes incites more cheers, causing the circle of onlookers to double in size. As he shakes his shoulders and drops to the ground, the dancing girl joins back in, twirling around the space. My skin prickles as she moves, seduction dripping from each roll of her hips. She fixes Zane with a flirtatious gaze that makes me grimace. How can I be surprised? With his kind smile, his strong, imposing frame. Calloused hands wrap around my wrists. Large hands. Zane's hands.
Zane! No!
His mischief overpowers my fright. Before I know it, I stand in the center of the circle. I freeze, paralyzed, as countless eyes land on me. I turn to escape, but Zane holds me tight, spinning me for the world to see.
Zane!
I shriek, but my terror dissolves into a laughter I cannot stop. Excitement swirls through me as we move, my two left feet somehow catching the beat. For a moment, the crowd disappears, and I only see Zane. His smile, his kind brown eyes. I could live an eternity like this, spinning and laughing in the safety of his arms.
Chapter 58. Inan.
Zeli has never looked more beautiful than she does now. Hand in hand with a young diviner boy, she shines in her soft purple dress, a twirling goddess among the crowd. The sea salt scent of her soul rises above the vast aromas of festival foods. It hits me with full force, an ocean tide pulling me in. Watching her, it's almost easy to forget about the Magi, the monarchy, father. In this moment, all I can think about is Zale. Her smile lights the world like a full moon on a starless night. When she can twirl no longer, she gives the child a hug. He squeals when she plants a kiss on his forehead, but as soon as he runs off, three young men step forward to take his place.
Excuse me. Hi, I'm Deka. You look lovely tonight.
I smile as they try to charm her. Each squawks over the other. While they chatter, I wrap my hand around Zeli's side and squeeze. May I have this dance? She whips around, outraged. Then she realizes it's me. As she smiles, I'm struck with her delight. Then, longing. A hint of fear. Zane flashes across her mind, and I pull her close. I'll take you somewhere he can't see. A warm rush flows from her body into mine. My grip tightens. I'll take that as a yes. I grab her hand and lead her through the crowd, ignoring the glares of her pursuers. We make our way toward the forest at the edge of the camps, away from the celebration and dance. The cool air is a welcome breeze. It carries the rich scent of campfires and bark and damp leaves.
You're sure you don't see Zane?
Positive.
What about... Whoa!
Zaylee stumbles to the ground. A girlish giggle escapes her mouth. As I stifle my own laughter to help her, a whiff of honey palm wine wafts into my nose. Skies, Zale. Are you drunk?
I wish. Whoever brewed this clearly didn't know what they were doing.
She takes my hand and leans against a tree for support.
I think all that twirling with Salim is catching up to me.
I'll bring you water. I make to leave, but Zaylee grabs my arm.
Stay.
Her fingers slide to my hands. A rush travels through me at her touch. Are you sure? She nods and giggles again. Her melodic laughter draws me close.
You asked me to dance.
A playful glint flashes in her silver eyes.
I want to dance.
Like the eager boys circling Zaylee before, I step forward, close enough to catch the faintest hint of palm wine on her breath. When I slide my hand over her wrist, she closes her eyes and breathes in. Her fingers dig into the bark. Her reaction fills every cell in my being with want. A visceral rush I've never experienced before. It takes everything in me not to kiss her, not to run my hands over her curves and press her against the tree. When her eyes flutter open again, I bend so that my lips brush against her ear. If we are actually going to dance, you have to move, little Zale. She stiffens.
Don't call me that.
You can call me Little Prince, and I can't call you Little Zale? Her hands drop to her side. She turns her face away.
Mama called me that.
Skies. I release her. It's a fight not to bang my head against the tree. Zale, I'm sorry. I didn't...
I know.
She stares at the ground, her playfulness disappears, drowning in a sea of grief. But then a wave of terror swells inside her. Are you okay? She clings to me without warning, pressing her head into my chest. Her fear sinks into my skin. It wraps around my throat. It consumes her, raw and powerful, just like that day in the forest. Except now it's not only the monarchy that haunts her, it's the shadows of death thrashing from her own hands. I wrap my arms around her and squeeze. What I wouldn't give to take her fear away. We stay like that for a long moment, disappearing into each other's arms. You smell like the sea. She blinks up at me. Your spirit, I clarify. It's always smelled like the sea. She stares at me with an expression I can't discern. I don't spend too much time trying to decipher it. It's enough to be lost in her eyes, to exist only in her silver gaze. I tuck a loose coil behind her ears. She presses her face back into my chest.
I lost control today.
Her voice cracks.
I hurt him. I hurt Zane.
I open my mind a little further, just beyond the point of pure relief. Zaylee's memory rushes in like a wave spilling onto shore. I feel it all. Zane's venomous words, the shadows that raged, the guilt, the hatred, the shame left in her magic's wake. I squeeze Zaylee tighter, a warm rush running through me when she squeezes back. I lost control once too.
Did someone get hurt?
Someone died, I say quietly. Someone I loved. She pulls back and looks up, tears brimming in her eyes.
That's why you're so afraid of your magic?
I nod. The guilt of Kaya's death twists a knife inside me. I didn't want anyone else to get hurt. Zaylee leans back into my chest and releases a heavy breath.
I don't know what to do.
About?
Magic.
My eyes go wide. Of all the things I imagined, I never thought I'd hear this doubt come from her mouth.
This is what I want.
Zaylee waves a hand at the bliss of the festival.
This is everything I've been fighting for. But when I think of what happened...
Her voice trails off. Zane's bleeding shoulder fills her mind.
These people are good. Their hearts are pure. But what will happen if I bring magic back and the wrong magi tries to take control?
The fear is so familiar, it feels like my own. Yet somehow it's not nearly as strong as before. Even when I think back to Kwame in flames, the first image that comes to my mind is how they sputtered out when Zuleika instructed him to stop. Zaylee opens her mouth to continue, but no words come out. I gaze at the fullness of her lips. I stare a bit too long when she bites them.
It's so unfair,
she sighs. I look down at her. It's hard to believe we're both awake. How many times have I wanted to hold her like this? To have her hold me back?
You just get to dance around in my mind, while I have no idea what's going on in yours.
You really want to know?
Of course I want to know. Do you realize how embarrassing it is to have no con...
I push her against the bark of the tree. My mouth presses against her neck. She gasps as I run my hands up her back. A small moan escapes her lips. This, I whisper. My mouth brushes her skin with each word. This is what I'm thinking. This is what's going through my head.
Inan,
she breathes, voice ragged. Her fingers dig into my back, pulling me closer. Everything in me wants her, wants this, all the time. With that desire, everything becomes clear. It all begins to make sense. We don't need to fear magic. We only need each other.
Chapter 59. Zaylee.
You can't. You can't. You can't. No matter how many times I repeat these words, my desire rages like a rider out of control. Zane will kill us if he finds out. But even as this thought runs through my head, my nails dig into Inan's back. I pull him into me, pressing until I can feel the hard lines of his body. I want to feel more. I want to feel him.
Come back to Lagos with me.
I force my eyes open, unsure whether I've heard him correctly.
What?
If freedom is what you want, come back to Lagos with me. It's like diving into the cold lakes of Ibadan, a visceral shock that pulls me from our fantasy, a world where Inan is just a boy in a handsome kaftan, a magi.
not a prince. You promised you wouldn't get in my way.
I shall keep my word, Inan cuts me off. But Zeli, that's not what this is.
Walls start to form around my heart. Walls I know he can feel. He pulls away, sliding his hands from my back to the sides of my face.
When you bring magic back, the nobility will fight tooth and nail to stop you. The raid will happen again and again. The war won't end until an entire generation of Orishans is dead.
I look away. But deep down I know he's right. It's the reason the fear won't go away. The reason I can't allow myself to truly celebrate. Zeus built a paradise, but when magic returns, the dream will end. Magic doesn't give us peace. It only gives us a fighting chance.
How will me coming back to Lagos solve any of that? I ask.
As we speak, your father calls for my head.
My father's scared. Inan shakes his head. He's misguided, but his fear is justified. All the monarchy's ever seen is the destruction magi can bring. They've never experienced anything like this.
He gestures to the camp, face alight with so much hope, his smile practically glows in the darkness.
Zuleika created this in one moon, and there are already more diviners in Lagos than anywhere else in Orisha. Just imagine what we could accomplish with the resources of the monarchy behind us.
Inan, I start to resist, but he tucks a strand of my hair behind my ear and trails his thumb down my neck.
If my father could see this, see you. With one touch, everything inside me shivers.
Pushing against my doubt, I lean into him, hungry for more.
He'll see what you've shown me.
Inan holds me close.
The magi of today are not the magi he fought. If we build a colony like this in Lagos, he'll understand he has nothing to fear.
This settlement only survives because no one knows where we are. Your father would never allow magi to congregate anywhere besides chained in the stocks.
He won't have a choice.
Inan's grip tightens. A spark of defiance flaring for the first time.
When magic is back, he won't have the power to take it away. Whether or not he agrees with me at first, in time he'll come to understand what's best. We can unite as one kingdom for the very first time. Amari and I will lead the transition. We can do it if you're there by our side.
A flame of hope lights inside me. One I should put out. Inan's vision begins to crystallize in my mind. The structures grounders could erect, the techniques Mama Agba could teach all of us. Baba would never have to worry about the taxes again. Zane could spend the rest of his life playing Before I can finish the thought, guilt slams into me. The memory of the blood leaking from under my brother's hands extinguishes any excitement.
It wouldn't work, I whisper. Magic would still be too dangerous. Innocent people could get hurt.
A few days ago, I would have said the same thing. Inan pulls back. But this morning you proved me wrong. With just one lesson, I realized that one day I could actually gain control. If we taught the Magi how to do the same in designated colonies, they could re-enter Orisha after they are trained.
Inan's eyes light up and his words begin to rush together.
Zeli, just imagine what Orisha could become. Healers like Zu would eradicate sickness. A team of grounders and welders could eliminate the need for the stocks. Skies, think of what the army would fight like with your animations leading the charge.
He presses his forehead against mine, getting far too close for me to think clearly. It will be a new Orisha. He calms down. Our Orisha. No battles. No wars. Just peace.
Peace.
It's been so long since I've known that word. The peace I only get in the dreamscape. The comfort of being wrapped in Inan's arms. For a moment I let myself imagine an end to the Magi's strife. Not with swords and revolution, but with peace. With Inan. You are serious.
I'm more than serious, Zale. I need this. I want to keep every promise I made to you. But I can't do it alone. You can't do it with just magic. But together.
A delicious smile spreads across his lips, drawing me in.
We'd be unstoppable. A team Orisha has never seen.
I look past him to the dancing diviners, catching sight of the young boy I danced with in the crowd. Salim spins himself in so many circles he tumbles into the grass. Inan drops his hand from my cheek and interlaces his fingers with mine. His warmth spreads over me like a soft blanket as he pulls me into his arms.
I know we are meant to work together. He lowers his voice to a whisper. I think we are meant to be together.
His words make my head spin. His words or the alcohol, but through the haze I know he's right. This is the one thing that can keep everyone safe. The one decision that can end this endless fight.
Okay.
Inan searches me with his eyes. Hope hums around him like the faint drum beats in the air.
Really?
I nod. We'll have to convince Zane and Amari. But if you're serious...
Zale, I've never been more serious about anything in my life.
My family will have to come to Lagos too.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
And you still have to rebuild Ilorin.
It'll be the first thing the grounders and tiders do.
Before I can make another objection, Inan wraps his arms around me and spins. His smile stretches so wide, it's impossible for me not to smile back. I laugh as he sets me down, though it takes a moment for the world to stop turning. We probably shouldn't decide the fate of Orisha while spinning around in some forest. He mumbles in agreement, slowly sliding his hands up my sides and back up to my face.
We probably shouldn't do this either.
Inan, before I can explain that we can't, that Zane's axe is freshly sharpened and only a few tenths away, Inan presses his lips to mine, and everything fades. His kiss is tender yet forceful, gently pushing into me, and his lips, soft, softer than I knew lips could be. They light every cell in my body, sending a warmth down my back. When he finally pulls away, my heart is beating so fast, it feels like I've just finished a fight. Inan slow to open his eyes, as a delicious smile spreads across his face.
Sorry, he runs his thumb over my bottom lip. Do you want to go back in?
Yes. I know what I should do, what I probably need to do. But now that I've had a taste, every restraint in me breaks. Inan's eyes widen as I grab his head and force his lips back onto mine. Restraint can wait for tomorrow. Tonight, I want him. Chapter 60. Amari. I giggle like I haven't in years, as Zane spins me round and round, He bends to lift me again but stops, leaving me on the ground. The smile that stretched from ear to ear drops alongside his sweat. I follow his line of sight, just in time to see Inan grab Zaylee's face, embracing her with a kiss. Skies! A gasp slips from my lips. I sensed that something kindled between them. I just didn't know it would ignite so soon. But observing the way Inan kisses Zaylee now, more questions brew. The tender way he holds her, the way his hands roam, pulling her into him. My cheeks flush and I turn away. An embrace like this is far too intimate to watch. But Zane does not share my discomfort. If anything, he stares more. Every muscle in his body tenses. His eyes grow hard, all joy banished. Zane, he brushes past me, steeled to attack with a fury I've yet to witness. Zane! He moves like he cannot see me, like he will not stop until his hands wrap around my brother's throat. Then Zaylee grabs Inan and pulls his lips to hers. The sight halts Zane mid-step. He stumbles back, as if physically struck. Then all of a sudden he snaps, breaking in half, like a twig between clenched fists. He stalks past me into the diviner crowd, pushing through the festival into the campgrounds. I struggle to keep pace with his sprint as he rushes into his tent. He bypasses Nyla and Zaylee's pack to grip the handle of his axe. Zane, no! My screams fall on deaf ears as he shoves the axe into his pack, along with his cloak, his food, the rest of his belongings. What are you doing? Zane ignores me, forcing his cloak down as if it too kissed his sister. I reach out to touch him, but he rips his shoulder away. Zane!
What?
He yells, and I flinch. He pauses, releasing a deep sigh.
Sorry. I can't do this. I'm done.
What do you mean, done? Zane wraps the leather straps around his back and pulls them tight.
I'm leaving. You can come with me if you want.
Wait, what? Zane doesn't pause to give me an answer. Before I can say anything else, he blows through the tent flaps, abandoning me for the brisk night. Zane! I scramble after him, but he makes no attempt to wait. He storms past the campgrounds, leaving all traces of the festival in his wake. I can hear the faint roar of the Gombe River as he flies through the wild grass. He gets all the way to the next valley before I finally catch up. Zane, please! He pauses, but his legs tense like he could take off at any moment. Can you just slow down? I plead. Just breathe. I know you hate Inan, but...
I don't give a damn about Inan. Everyone can do whatever the hell they want. Just leave me out of it.
My chest freezes at the cruelty of his words, shattering all the warmth he put there before. Though my legs shake, I force them forward. You're upset, I understand, but...
Upset?
Zane narrows his eyes.
Amari, I'm tired of fighting for my life. I'm tired of paying for everyone's mistakes. I'm sick of doing everything I can to keep her safe when all she does is throw it away.
He lowers his head, shoulders slumping. For the first time since I've met him, he appears small. It's disconcerting to see him this way.
I keep expecting her to grow up. But why would she when I'm always here? Why change when I stand by just waiting to clean up her mess?
I step closer and grab his hands.
lacing my fingers between his coarse ones. I know their relationship is confusing, but I promise you, deep down my brother's intentions are pure. Zaylee hated Inan more than anyone. If she feels this way about him now, it has to mean something.
It means what it always does.
Zane slides out of my grasp.
Zaylee's doing something stupid. And sooner or later is going to blow up in her face. Wait for the explosion if you want, but I'm done.
His voice breaks.
I never wanted to be a part of this anyway.
Zane walks away again, cleaving something inside me. This is not the man I know. A man I have started to... love? The word floats in my mind, but I can't call it that. Love is too strong, too intense for what I feel, for what I am allowed to feel. But even still... You never give up on her, I shout after him. Never. Not once. Even when she cost you everything, you're always by her side. Like Binta. My friend's playful smirk appears in my mind, lighting up the cold night. Zane loves fiercely, as she did, without condition, even when he shouldn't. Why now? I continue. After everything, why this?
Because he destroyed our home.
Zane whips around. A vein bulges against his neck as he screams.
People drowned! Children died! And for what? That monster has been trying to kill us for weeks, and now she wants to forgive him? Embrace him?
His voice strains and Zane pauses, slowly clenching and unclenching his fists.
I can protect her from a lot of things, but if she's going to be this stupid, this reckless, she's going to get herself killed. I'm not sticking around to watch.
With that he turns, tightening his pack and walking farther into the darkness. Wait, I call. But this time, Zane does not slow. Each step he takes causes my heart to pound harder against my chest. He's really doing this. He's really leaving. Zane, please! A horn sounds, cutting through the night. We freeze as more join in, silencing the drums of the festival. I turn and my heart drops as the royal seal that has always haunted me comes into view, gleaming off suit after suit. The eyes of the snow leoparders seem to flash in the darkness. Father's men are here. Chapter 61. Zaylee. I inhale sharply as Inan's hands slide down to my thighs. His touch makes every part of my body explode. It's too hard to concentrate on kissing him back. But as my lips forget what to do, Inan's don't miss a beat. His electric kisses move from my mouth to my neck, so intense it's hard to breathe. Inan. My face flushes, but there's no point in hiding it. He knows what his kiss does to me. How his touch burns. If my emotions hit him like a tsunami, then he must know how much I want this. How my body aches to let his hands search and wander. Inan presses his forehead against mine and slides his hands to the small of my back. Believe me, Zale, what I do to you is nothing compared to what you do to me. My heart flutters and I close my eyes as Inan draws me in. He leans down for another kiss. A loud horn blares. A crash rings through the air. What was that?
I ask. We jolt apart as another crash sounds. Inan's grip on me tightens, a cold sweat breaking out.
We need to go.
What's going on?
Zayn, come on.
I break free of his hold and run toward the edge of the festival grounds. The music of the celebration halts as everyone tries to figure out the cause of the sounds. A hushed hysteria erupts through the crowd, questions mounting as it spreads. But with time, the source of the horns makes itself clear. The legion of royal guards charges through the new wreckage of the gate and marches to the top of the hill overlooking the valley. They light up the black sky with red torch flames, blazing against the night. Some soldiers position their arrows, others bear their sharpened blades. The most terrifying among them hold back a pack of wild pantheners. The menacing beasts chomp and foam at their bits, desperate for a chase. Inan catches up to me. He stalls when he sees the sight. The color drains from his cheeks, his fingers laced through mine. The commander of the troop steps forward, distinguished by the golden lines carved into the iron of his armor. He raises a cone to his mouth so we can all hear his shouts.
This is your only warning, his voice booms through the silence. If you do not comply, we will use force. Give up the scroll and the girl and no one here will get hurt.
The diviners break out in whispered conversations, fear and confusion spreading throughout the masses like a virus. Some people try to escape the crowd. A child begins to cry.
Zayn, we have to go,
Inan repeats, gripping my arm once more. But I can't feel my legs. I can't even speak.
I will not warn you again, the commander shouts. Give them up, or we will take them by force.
For a moment, nothing happens. Then a ripple breaks through the crowd. Though the movement starts out small, in seconds, waves of people split. They clear a path, allowing one person to walk through. Her small body steps forward. Her white mane dances. Zoo, I breathe, fighting the urge to run and pull her back into the crowd. She stands tall and strong, defiant beyond her young years. Her emerald green caftan blows in the wind, shimmering against her brown skin. Though she is only 13, the entire legion readies their arms. Archers pull back against their bows. Swordsmen position the reins of their pantheners.
I don't know which girl you speak of, Zu shouts, her voice carried by the wind. But I can assure you we don't have the scroll. This is a peaceful celebration. We only gathered here to honor our heritage.
The silence that follows is almost deafening. It brings a tremble to my hands I can't fight back.
Please,
Zu steps forward.
Don't move!
The commander shouts back, pulling out his sword.
Search us if you must, Zu responds. We will agree to an examination, but please, lower your weapons.
She raises her hands in surrender.
I don't want anyone to get hurt.
It happened so fast. Too fast. One moment, Zu stands. The next, an arrow pierces through her gut.
Zu!
I scream. But it doesn't sound like me. I can't hear my voice. I can't feel anything. Air dies inside my chest as Zu looks down, small hands gripping the arrow shaft. The young girl with a smile too wide for her face pulls against the weapon, speared with Orisha's hate. She strains, limbs shaking, somehow taking a step forward, not back where we can protect her. Forward, so she can protect us.
No!
Tears sear my vision, falling fast down my face.
A healer.
A child. Yet her last moments are stained with hate.
Blood spreads across the silk of her kaftan. The emerald darkens with red. Her legs buckle and she hits the ground.
Zoo!
I race forward even though I know she can't be saved. In that moment, the entire world explodes. Arrows fly and swords flash as the guards unleash their attack.
Sail! Come on!
Inan yanks on my arm, pulling me back. But as he tries to steer me away, one thought fills my mind.
Oh, gods.
Zane. Before Inan can object, I take off, stumbling more than once as I return to the valley. Screams of terror fill the night. Diviners run in all directions. We sprint in vain, trying desperately to escape the archers striking from the sky. One by one, diviners go down, pierced by an onslaught of arrows that never seems to end. But the archers become a fear of the past as the suited seal of Orisha spreads through the masses. Soldiers release the rabid pantheners, allowing the riders to sink their fangs straight through diviner flesh. Above them, armored guards push through the crowd, swords raised and sharpened. They show no mercy, no discretion, slashing through everyone in their path.
Zane!
I scream. Another voice in the chorus of shouts. He can't die like Mama. He can't leave me and Baba. But the farther I run, the more bodies fall to the ground, the more spirits bleed into the earth. Lost in the crowd, Salim howls, sharp screams rising above every other cry.
Salim!
I scream, charging for the sweet boy I spun in my arms. A guard rides toward him on a rabid panthener. Salim raises his hands in surrender. He has no magic, no weapon, no way to fight. The guard doesn't care. His sword slashes down.
No!
I scream, insides aching at the sight. The blade rips straight through Salim's small body. He dies before he even hits the ground. His dead eyes chill my blood, my heart, my bones. We cannot win. We cannot live. We never stood a chance. The sensation strikes me in my core, deep, as powerful as my beating heart. It rattles the magic in my blood. It pulls the air from my lungs. Kwame brushes past me, running for the heart of the battle. He grips a dagger, tight in his hands. Then he slashes open his palm. Blood magic. Horror settles into my bones. It's like the world slows to a stop, stretching the seconds between this moment and the last Kwame will ever have. His blood glows with a white light, splashing as it hits the ground. In an instant, the ivory light surrounds him, illuminating his dark skin like a god from above. When it reaches the top of his head, it seals his fate. A fire explodes from his skin. Smoldering embers rain from his body. Flames blaze around his form. The fire erupts from every limb, shooting out of his mouth, his arms, his legs. The blast towers meters into the sky, a blaze so powerful it lights the horrors of the night. Shock stops the guard's attack just as Kwame begins. He punches his fists forward. Streams of fire crash through the settlement in smoldering waves. The flames incinerate everything in their path, blazing through the guards, destroying the camp. The stench of burning flesh fills the air, mixed with the scent of blood. Death strikes so quickly. Soldiers don't even have a chance to scream.
Ah!
Kwame's cries of agony rise above all else as he turns the night red. The blood magic tears through him, raw and unforgiving. It's grander than any flame a Magi could conjure on his own. He burns with the power of his god, but it burns through him. His dark face flushes red, veins tearing from within. His skin bubbles and scalds from his flesh,
revealing corded muscle and hard bone. He can't contain it. He can't outlast it. The blood magic eats him alive, yet still he uses his last breath to fight.
Kwame!
Folake screams from the edge of the valley. A strong diviner drags her back, keeping her from charging into the roaring fire. A vortex of flame shoots from Kwame's throat, pushing the guards even farther back. As he sears through their attack, with the last seconds of his life, the diviners react. My people flee in all directions, escaping through the flaming walls, leaving the wasteland in their path. They live, fleeing the guards' senseless attack. Because of Kwame, because of his magic, they survive. Staring at the blaze, it's as if the entire world stops. The shouts and screams are muffled into nothingness. The festival fades to black. Inan's promises play out before my eyes. Our Orisha, a pact the world won't allow him to keep, peace. We will never have peace. As long as we don't have magic, they will never treat us with respect. Baba's words simmer through my mind. They need to know we can hit them back. If they burn our homes, we burn theirs too. With one final cry, Kwame erupts like a dying star. Fire explodes in all directions, leaving the earth with the last remnants of himself. As the final embers fall, my heart rips in my chest. I can't believe I ever denied Baba's truth. They'll never allow us to thrive. We will always be afraid. Our only hope is to fight, fight and win. And to win, we need our magic. I need that scroll.
Zeli!
My head snaps up. I don't know how long I've stayed still. The world seems to travel in slow motion, weighed down by Kwame's sacrifice, dragging with all my pain and guilt. Zain and Amari approach from the distance, riding on Nyla's back. Zain guides Nyla toward me through the chaos. Amari clutches my pack to her chest. But as my name travels from his mouth, other guards take note.
The girl! They scream to one another. The girl! It's her!
Before I can take another step, hands wrap around my arms, my chest, my throat.
Chapter 62. Amari. As the sun rises into the valley, a sob catches in my throat. The rays light the charred clearing where the procession occurred, the blackened remains of what was once a joyful place. I stare at the scorched earth where Zain and I danced, recalling how he twirled me, remembering the sound of his laugh. All that remains now is blood, hollow corpses, ash. I close my eyes and clasp my hand to my mouth, a futile attempt to block out the painful sight. Though it is silent, the cries of diviners still echo in my mind. The shouts of the soldiers who slaughtered them follow, the clash of swords striking into flesh. I cannot bear to look, but Zain scans the destruction, searching for Zeli among every fallen face.
I don't see her.
Zane's voice is barely above a whisper, like if he speaks any louder, everything inside him will break. His rage, his pain, the heartache of having another family member ripped away. Thoughts of Inan force their way into my mind. His promises, his potential lies. Though I can't bring myself to search the dead, I can feel it in my core. Inan's corpse isn't on this ground. No part of me wants to believe this was his doing, yet I don't know what to think. If this wasn't his betrayal, how did the guards find us? Where is my brother now? Nyla whimpers behind us, and I stroke her snout, the way I've seen Zeli do so many times before. A lump rises in my throat when she nuzzles my hand back.
I think they took her, I say, as delicately as I can. It's what my father would have ordered. She's far too important to kill. I hope this will give him hope, but Zane's expression stays even. He stares at the bodies on the ground, his breaths escaping in short spurts.
I promised.
His voice cracked.
When Mama died, I promised. I said I'd always be there. I swore I'd take care of her.
You have, Zane. You always have. But he's lost in his own world, a place far beyond where my words could go.
And Baba?
His body seizes. He clenches his fists to try and stop the trembling.
I told Baba, I told him I would.
I lay my hand on Zane's back, but he retreats from my touch. It's as if every tear Zane has ever fought back comes pouring out of his body at once. He crumples into the dirt, pressing clenched fists against his head so hard I worry he'll get hurt. His heartache bleeds raw, breaking through his every wall. You cannot give up. I drop to Zane's side to wipe away his tears. Despite everything, he has always stayed strong. But this loss is too much to bear. We still have the scroll, the stone, and the dagger. Until my father has retrieved the artifacts, his men will keep her alive. We can save her and get to the temple. We can still make this right.
She won't talk, Zane whispers. Not if we're at risk. They'll torture her.
His hands clench the earth.
She's as good as dead.
Zaylee is stronger than anyone I know. She'll survive. She'll fight. But Zane shakes his head, unconvinced, no matter how hard I try.
She'll die.
He squeezes his eyes shut.
She'll leave me all alone.
Nyla's whimpers grow as she nuzzles Zane, attempting to lick his tears away. The sight crushes everything inside me, destroying the last fragments that were whole. It's like watching the magical light explode from Binta's palms, only for Father's sword to rip through her chest. How many families has Father left like this, broken beyond repair, mourning their dead? How many times will I allow him to do it again? I stand on the hill and turn toward the town of Gombe, a speck of pluming smoke before the Olasimbo Range. The map in Father's war room reappears inside my mind, crystallizing the X's that marked his military bases. As the layout forms in my head, a new plan falls into place. I cannot let Zane endure this loss. I will not let Father win. We need to move, I say.
Amari.
Now. Zane lifts his head from the ground. I reach down and grab his hand, wiping the dirt sticking to the tear stains on his face. There is a guard fortress outside Gombe. That has to be where they took her. If we can get in, we can get her out. We can bring Father's tyranny to an end. Zane stares at me with broken eyes, fighting the spark of hope that tries to light.
How would we get in?
I turn back to the silhouette of Gombe against the night sky. I have a plan.
Will it work?
I nod, for once not fearing the fight. I was the lioner once. For Zane and Zaylee, I shall be her again.